Good morning. Thanks for tuning in. We continue our series, What He Said, the words of Jesus. Yep, Jesus is still alive and well. The tomb is still empty. They have yet to find the body. I just want to let you know, in the last week, they haven't found some tomb somewhere, and it's like, aha, here it is. There's a book that was written. It was a fiction book, of course. It was called A Skeleton in God's Closet. Very, very interesting book. Man, that's from like 30 years ago. Do you know what I think? I think a lot of us, a lot of Christ followers, and like when I first wrote the notes for this, I said a lot of Christ followers, and I'm like, no, I'm going to put myself in there. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to look back and we're going to go, Jesus came down from heaven, right, and spoke certain words. You think he thought it through? He had all eternity past to think through what he wanted to communicate, and he did. And then sometimes we don't put it into practice. It's like, what's up with that? I think looking back over our lives, you're going to be like, if I would have, I would have had better health. I probably would have lived longer if I followed biblical principles and listened to what Jesus said and put it into practice. I'd have better relationships with people. I'd be a better husband. I would have been a better employee, a better employer. My marriage would have been better. And you know what else? My finances would have been better. All those things. So often people are like, oh, why does God want us to obey? Like, what a cosmic killjoy. No, he wants to bless us, and the blessing is in the doing. So, who or what do you listen to? The news? Yeah, you could. How about you just watch the news all day long? Ignore your Bible. Don't talk to anybody else. How do you think you're going to be doing if you just focus on the news? It's almost comical, and there's people who have poked fun at it, SCTV, Second City TV, if you remember that. They would just come out with one horrendous story after another, and it's just ridiculous. How about Alexa and Siri? Do you get a lot of stuff from them? I'm not saying, and the internet, I'm not saying all that stuff is wrong, but are these really the experts that we want to find out information from? Larry Norman wrote a song, oh my goodness, had to be mid-70s. Why don't you look into Jesus? He got the answer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would speak answers to questions that people are asking today, especially questions about eternity. Lord, touch people as they listen. Meet us where we're at. I pray it in your name. Amen.
Of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song that it sings, all exclaim, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable. Awestruck, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. Told every lightning bolt where it should go, or seen heavenly storehouses laden with snow. Who imagined the sun and gave source to its light, yet conceals it to bring us the coolness of night. Can fathom, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable. Awestruck, we fall to our knees as we indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. Incomparable, unchangeable. You see the depths of my heart and you love me the same. You are amazing, God.
So I've discovered some comics online recently, and one of them I want to highlight. His name is Mike Goodwin. Pretty sure he's a follower of Jesus, and I'm going to share something I kind of boosted from him. I don't think I can do it as well as him, but I think it's kind of thought-provoking. I think you might like it. His grandma told him this: in life, there's only two things to worry about, whether you're healthy or whether you're sick. Now, if you're healthy, you got nothing to worry about. If you're sick, you got two things to worry about: whether you're going to get better or whether you're going to get worse. Now, if you get better, you got nothing to worry about. If you get worse, you got two things to worry about: whether you're going to live or whether you're going to die. Now, if you live, you got nothing to worry about. But if you die, you've got two things to worry about: whether I'm going to heaven or whether I'm going to hell. Now, if you go to heaven, you got nothing to worry about. But if you go to hell, you've got two things to worry about: original or extra crispy. Now, it's lighthearted on a very serious subject, but the truth is that Jesus talked about heaven and hell more than anybody else did. As a matter of fact, as he was nearing the end of his ministry, Matthew records this, and maybe because Matthew was the former tax collector, John doesn't tell us this, but Luke doesn't tell us, and there's three accounts that are in Matthew 25. So these are kind of some of the final words of Jesus. Mark doesn't tell us this, but Matthew, the tax collector, because I think he has to do with accounts, and either accounts are good or accounts are bad. Either you're left wanting or you've got enough or you've got plenty. And that's kind of what it comes down to. So when it comes to important things, why don't we look into Jesus? But, you know, people turn to all sorts of other people to be experts or whatever. And I want to share something I picked up from Bob Goff just this last week. Bob Goff has sailed the Pacific twice. Now, when he says sailed the Pacific, I don't know if it means going out to Hawaii. I don't know if it means going to Japan, but that's pretty significant. But he was talking to some guy that I don't think he'd ever met before, and they got talking about sailing the Pacific. And he told him the course that I should steer to get the greatest amount of wind and what sails I should bring to go as fast as possible. And he thought that was pretty interesting. He even had opinions about the food that I should bring along. He said it was both funny and fascinating because I had done the crossing twice and had given very little thought, if any, to the things that he felt so strongly about. But this guy had strong opinions on it. When there was a pause, I finally had a chance to ask him how long he'd been sailing. And he said, well, I've never sailed. I've never left Iowa. Well, that's pretty funny. If you take a look at a map, I was not close to any ocean whatsoever. But, you know, it's pretty crazy. There's really important questions, and we just go, well, this friend of mine told, I saw a YouTube video on this. Why wouldn't we ask Jesus about heaven or hell? Because what's your choice? Well, every sane person, if we believe that they exist, and Jesus obviously did. And I always say, what's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. Some people are like, oh, I don't believe that anymore. That's antiquated. It's like, well, if Jesus believed in it, I'm going with it. Because there's a lot of newfangled things that aren't so good. I turn off updates on my phone. You know why? Because when my phone updates, then my apps stop working. And then I have to get new this and that. Someone somewhere thinks it's better. But I don't. And there's a lot of things in our world and our culture today. Someone somewhere thinks it's better. But I'm not sure Jesus does, and a lot of times I don't either. So what did Jesus say? Well, he said a lot. And in Matthew chapter 25, he tells the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. And he also tells the parable of 3 servants. And then I don't think you can even call it a parable, but it's a story, it's an account of the final judgment, the story of the sheep and the goats. And I think a lot of us are familiar with that. Hopefully you're familiar in some way, shape, or form with all of these, but we're eventually going to take a closer look at each of them. So all of them have different details. They're different accounts. They come at it, make different, you know, points, but they also have four of the same huge emphases. In all three, there's a sudden return of the Lord. Think about that. Jesus is telling us what it's going to be like. And remember, this is the guy who knows. He's pre-existent. When he talks about going to his father's house, it's not like this journey and I hope to make it there. He's been there already. I hope you get that. And he's the only one who's pre-existent who came to earth. So in all three, there's a sudden return of the Lord. And then there's an accounting. There's an evaluation of life. In Hebrews 9:27, it says that it is appointed unto men to die once, and then comes the judgment. Now, that why would it say once? Because there's a lot of people, and I've got friends. I know people that are just like, well, I believe in reincarnation. And I always want to ask, why? I mean, who told you about this? And I don't even want to get into it, but, you know, some people, you know, I was alive in a previous lifetime and they were an Iroquois warrior or whatever, Egyptian princess. I've never talked to anybody. It's like, I was a ladybug, you know, I was a cockroach. So it does not fit with the gospel. Jesus died for our sins. We will give account for our lives, not come back without any knowledge of a previous life and try to figure it out without any knowledge. So I know a lot of folks believe it, but it does not go along with the gospel, does not go along with the cross of Jesus Christ. It doesn't go along with Hebrews 9:27. And like I like to recycle. Part of the reason I have junk in my car is those Coke Zero cans, I don't want to toss them in garbage. I'll take them home. I'll go somewhere where I can recycle them. I believe in recycling, but God does not recycle souls. He does not need to. And that's a whole nother story. Sometimes people say, but my friend has a degree in such and such. And going back to the Bob Goff story, yeah, but has he ever left Iowa? Jesus left Iowa. He was in heaven. He knows what he's talking about. In each, some are prepared and some are not prepared. Now, that means that some make the final cut and some don't. Now, universalism, that's the belief that in the end, everybody makes it to heaven. I've wrestled with that. Why? Because I'd like that total reconciliation. I don't like the concept of some people not making the cut. But the more that I look at God's word, I've got to trust him with that. And I have no idea how the whole thing's going to go. And I'm not accountable for other people. I'm simply accountable for myself. But this is very sobering. In all three of these accounts, it's obvious not everyone is going to make the grade. Some are going to be found wanting. Very sobering. In all three, there are judgments and there are rewards. Think about that for a moment. Now, I try not to think about rewards. Somebody quoted it back to me the other day. A friend of mine was volunteering somewhere and he took some of his kids. And one of his children asked, so how much are we getting paid for this? And he said, I quoted you, Pastor Paul. I told him that the benefits are out of this world. That's what I always say about retirement benefits for pastors. They're out of this world. And some of you will get that about 90 seconds from now. But his daughter was not happy to find out that she wasn't going to be making $14 an hour. She would prefer the reward now, but there will be rewards and there will be judgment. Finally, each remarkably indicates that those who are found wanting in the end are shocked. They're surprised. They didn't see it coming. That is sobering. That is really sobering. Some of this was inspired by a daily devotional that I read by James Montgomery Boyce, probably written in the 1970s, and I just think it's cool. This guy has long been gone from planet Earth, but he writes something that still talking to me in 2025. He says, the foolish maidens are astounded that the bridegroom will not open the door to them. The wicked and lazy servant clearly expected the master to be pleased with his zero growth performance. The goats cannot believe that they have actually rejected Jesus, because that's what Jesus says in the end. You rejected me. You didn't care for me. Thus it will be in our generation. We have more opportunities to learn about Christ in our day than ever before in human history. Think about that. No one has had the access to Scripture that we do. No one has had the access to preaching and teaching on our phones, literally on our TVs now, at our command, at our wish. But yes, they're all surprised. So let's highlight some of the key points. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to read the whole parable of the bridesmaids. It's 13 short verses. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. Doesn't that just kind of describe the world that we live in? We can choose to be foolish, we can choose to be wise. It's not smart. It's not a matter of smart. It's a matter of wisdom, eternal perspective, and foolish, a very temporal perspective. Verse 3, the five who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps, but the other five were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, now we'd have to understand the whole custom, and I don't have time to go into it, but they're waiting. They're waiting for the bridegroom to come. But they don't know the day or the hour. They might have an idea of the season. I mean, see, that's when Jesus talked about his return. He was talking about the whole Jewish custom of marriage. So the bridegrooms, they're waiting. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him." All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the five foolish ones asked the others, "Please give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out." But the others replied, "We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves." But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. That's how it worked. And once the door was locked, it was locked. Once the party began, the party began, and nobody else joined. Later, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he called back, "Believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or hour of my return." So what's this all about? Well, often the oil in Scripture represents the Holy Spirit, which I do think to some degree it does in this. But it also speaks, because I don't think we lose the Holy Spirit. I think we want to be continually filled. So there's some question marks with this, and Jesus doesn't answer all of them. But what's he saying? Be ready. Be ready in season and out of season. Always be ready. And when he says, "I don't know you," there's other places in Scripture where Jesus says, "I never knew you." And I always thought, well, that's kind of weird, because he knows everybody. Oh, but this is more like you go back to the King James in the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve. And Adam knew Eve, and then she had a child. There was an intimacy. They came together. And Jesus is saying, you don't have that kind of relationship with me. Do you? Do I? That's what he's looking for. We do not want to hear those words. So let's move ahead to Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 16. This is the parable of the three servants. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but a fair amount of it. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. Whose money was it? No, it was his money. He entrusted it to them. They became stewards. He gave five bags of silver to one, two bags of silver to another, and one bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. Then he left on his trip. Now I find it very interesting in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, it says this. Because some people say, "Well, I don't have any gifts or talents." God gives gifts and talents to everyone, but our value is the same, but we do not have the same gifts and talents. It's quite plain that that's the case. In Luke 12:48, it says, "But someone who does not know and then does something wrong will be punished only lightly. When someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even much more will be required." So we see that God gives different gifts, different talents to people. And if you've been exposed to the gospel, yeah, you're going to be more accountable than a person who hasn't. But here's the question. How do you use your gifts and talents? Well, in this story, the guy who had the five, he went out and earned five more. And the guy who had two, he came back, he had two more. The one who only had one, a little bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy here. Let's take a look at verses 17 and 18. The servant who received one bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Well, that wasn't too smart. The first two doubled what they had. And you know what Jesus said to them? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Yeah, this is the context of it, where we take the gifts and talents that we have and we multiply them. And we'll talk about that in a moment. Verse 24 and 25 tells us what really goes down here. Then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man." Well, oh, yeah. How would you like it if somebody came up to you? "Well, I knew you were a jerk." I mean, if someone said to me, "I knew you were a jerk, so this is why I did what I did," you think that's going to go over well? I don't think so. "I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops that you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back." No, this does not go over well at all. No, he. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, though, that Jesus is harsh with him then because he buried his treasure. So in all of these cases, it's Jesus' money. It's Jesus' gifts that he invests in us. And then we use it how? So that we benefit? Au contraire. No, so that others do. And if you don't believe that, we're going to move ahead in just a little bit. And Jesus is going to make that point profoundly. I had the privilege of presenting some Rotary scholarship checks. I actually had a couple high schools this week. But when I went to Westmont High School, I was given a moment to explain what Rotary is and to say just a few words. And so I preached for about an hour and a half up there. The students got out of school. You know, I mean, they didn't have to go back. No, I'm kidding. I spoke for about 2.5 minutes. But I said that Rotary, you know, we help to eradicate polio in the world. I said, got a text from a friend who was on a mission trip somewhere in Central America and said, "Look, the water filters that we're blessing people with down here and installing, they're donated by Rotary." That's cool. But one of the things we love to do is get behind local students. And so they apply for scholarships. And I'll tell you, they came and told their stories. And this is just a great group of kids. Like, we're honored to get behind. One of those is, he's been a pastor already. This is just from 5 years ago. He works at a Christian school. It's just like, you see stuff like that happen. It's awesome. And so I had a chance at Westmont High School to tell this old story that I picked up on, I think, in the 1990s, which had to sound like ancient history to these high schoolers. But there was a study that was done at UCLA, the University of California at Los Angeles, in the 1980s. And when they polled the students, "Why are you here? What caused you to want to come to UCLA?" The preponderance of people that responded said, "Because I wanted to learn and get a great degree so I could make the world a better place." They did the same survey a decade later in the 1990s at UCLA, same place, different people. And this time, the number one response was, "I want to get a degree that can help me to make a lot of money." And I was able to talk to those students that were on that stage at Westmont High School and say, I know I speak for all the Rotarians, those students that came and shared, you fall into that first category. And there's a huge difference between the two. You want to make the world a better place, and we are proud to get behind you. And it gives us hope when we see young people that want to do that. So some of us today might say, well, I used my gifts and talents well. I mean, take a look. I've got a great degree. I've made a lot of money. I've got a nice house. I've, you know, all these different things. That's not what Jesus is saying. And I think we have such an American mindset that we think, aha, I use my gifts and talents for my glory. Now, there's nothing wrong with making money. That's not the point. The point is, are we committed to bring glory and honor to God? It's all to be done for the glory of God. Every penny here came back to the Lord. And then he invested more. To whom much is given, more. He'll give even more. When our lives are evaluated, do we bring honor and benefit to the Lord? Or just to ourselves? So I was at Christ Church this past week, their greenhouse group. And I met somebody I hadn't met before. She was at a table way in the back. I think her name's Kathy. I think I can say that, and I could be wrong, but that's what stuck in my mind. And my wife showed up, Heidi showed up. She was at that table, and I didn't introduce her. I said, I would have introduced you, but I didn't know you were here. She said, you looked at me like 10 times. It's like, you're in the back of the room, and I never zone in on people. But anyway, so this new friend of ours, Kathy, she talked about growing up in a tradition that really didn't study Scripture a whole lot. But when she started to study Scripture, man, she got going. She sounded like a preacher. I'd say she's a little bit older than I am. But and Heidi and I both said, yeah, you should preach next time. She kind of laughed. She said, oh, no, no. But she said, I think it was a pastoral psychotherapist. And then she said something that absolutely blew my mind. She said, and because of the ability to sit with my clients, all but five of my clients have committed their lives to Christ. And I'm trying to figure out her age and when she started this whole thing. So I asked her, I said, well, how many clients do you see like a week? She said 27. So I multiplied that by 52. And she's been doing this for over 40 years, which means that's like 60,000 people. And there's only five that didn't. She said, and I also, they continue to see me. So I get to help them with their walk with Jesus. I'm like, what am I doing? 60,000 people. She's using her gifts and talents for the glory of God. Now, she happens to be a therapist, but she is pointing people to Jesus. I just love that story. Honestly, earlier in this week, I knew that I was going to, the bare bones of what I was going to preach on. And then as I sat down about Matthew 25, but as far as illustrations, as far as different things, I'm like, what do you got? And it's just amazing. God's just like, don't worry. I'll just have the people come across your path to illustrate the story for you. And Jesus, in the end of Matthew 25, he says, there's two kinds of folks. There's sheep and there's goats. Now, what are goats like? Now, baby goats are really cute. I remember being in Haiti in 1993, and there was a young lady. Her name was Heather. Oh, she loved the baby goats, and they are just so cute. But then they grow up, and some of them, I mean, really look like Satan himself. I mean, goat's head soup and all that. And they butt each other, you know? It's like goats are, you know, I mean, there's G-O-A-T. That's a whole other thing, greatest of all time. That kind of goat. But goats are kind of buttheads, and they do their own thing. Some of you remember Beavis and Butthead. Sheep, on the other hand, are dependent. They trust their shepherd. They follow. It's not about them. It's about the shepherd. Well, let's take a look at Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, Jesus, this humble first century itinerant preacher, says, I'll be coming back in glory. And all the angels with him. Then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Now, I believe salvation, that we go to heaven because of the grace of God, because Jesus came, he died on the cross, and he has applied his grace to our lives, and we accept it by faith. But the evidence that he has come into our lives is a changed life. So what does that look like? What does it look like to invest our talents into the glory of God? Well, I think that's what Jesus is explaining here. Let's take a look at verse 34. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Wow. And then in verse 40, he says this, and the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. I get chills reading that. That is what he said. Now, the goats say, well, when, Jesus, when did we see you? And they're probably looking at each other. It's like, yeah, we would have. I mean, of course, if it was you, we would have done something for you. But instead, it was Jesus in his distressing disguise, so to speak. And they didn't realize it was him. So pastoring is sort of a unique thing. I don't choose you. You choose me. I can't make you watch this video, but some of you have chosen to watch. Some of you, I have no idea who you are. Some people don't mention that. But there's another group of people that come to church, and we don't really practice a whole lot of excommunication, if you know what I'm saying. People come here, and somebody starts calling me pastor. I'm their pastor. I didn't choose them. They chose me. So God called me to preach the gospel, and every opportunity that I get, I take. If it's available, I take it, including funerals. But I will let a family know, and sometimes they might not want me, but I'm going to proclaim the resurrection of Jesus. I'm going to talk about Jesus at the funeral. So I do turn down some weddings because there's really, some people do preach, but I don't think it's really appropriate to just kind of do that. But if a nursing home calls me or a retirement community and he says, can you come and do it? And if I look at my calendar and I can't, I will go. Because that is what God has called me to do. And I appreciate my church that wants me involved in the community, wants me to be out there preaching. If I can, I do. And so it's been a number of years that I go to a nursing home in LaGrange Park. And it's right at the beginning of the pandemic. There's retirement community here in Clarendon Hills. There used to be one in Lombard that I went to, but things changed there. And at the one in Clarendon Hills, there's like an upstairs crew and a downstairs crew. And I tell you, so recently, I was at one of these gatherings. And one of them is a little different than the others. I'll just say that. Because it's kind of an open space. And there's not always a staff person there the whole time, but now they have one there at the beginning. And so I saw them wheel one woman in. There's like four other people that are there, but I don't know if they're there for the Bible study. And this is really kind of an awkward thing for me to say, okay, we're going to start Bible study. You have to move out of like your living room. That's not my role. But staff said, Pastor Paul is going to be preaching now. And so a couple people got up and left, and you know, you're welcome to stay, whatever. It's a little awkward. And then we're ready to roll again. I had three people there. And then this woman said, well, I really can't hear or read. And so she got up and left. And this other woman, actually, I forgot that she actually did stay there, but she slept the whole time. And so that left one other person there. And it's kind of tricky with one, you know, because you don't want to just preach at one person. And I could not read her at all. She had the same expression the entire time. I would think she's 80-ish. She was a pretty woman and just very pleasant, a pleasant expression on her face, but eyes a little glassy. She had an Irish name, I thought. And so anyway, the entire time I spoke, I looked at the one that was, you know, snoring, not quite snoring, and this, but I had no read. I didn't know if any of it was registering with either one of them. But when it was over, she just looked at me and she said, thank you. That was good. Oh man, that made my day. And I said, so do you have some Irish blood coursing through your veins? She said, 100%. And I said, well, I'm 50%. I said, both my grandparents were born in Ireland. And then on my mom's side. And then I said, my Grandma Duffy lived with us. And I said, she had a delightful brogue. And then I just told her a quick Grandma Duffy story. It was towards the end of her life. A doctor came in. She was at a care facility. And he was checking her legs. She was checking her lymph nodes. And Grandma Duffy says, "Well, what are you doing?" Because, you know, he's checking her legs. "Well, what are you doing?" And he said, I'm checking your lymph nodes, Mrs. Duffy. And she says, "Lincoln's nose? Well, you won't find it there." This woman about fell off her chair. She was laughing so hard. And like it went from, I had no idea if at any point I connected with her, to she heard everything that I said. And next time I see her, I'm going to tell her another Grandma Duffy story. So Jesus didn't say it, but I think it is so true that when we take the time and we care and we reach out to the hungry, to the thirsty, to a stranger, and that's the simplest one probably, when we care for somebody who's destitute and naked, when we care for somebody who's sick and we visit them and we pray for them, whatever it is, and we visit somebody in prison. Had somebody just this last week talking about just how blessed they were when people came to visit them in prison. Jesus didn't say it, but it's true that when we do these things, we get blessed. When I walked out of that room after telling a Grandma Duffy story, oh, I think she got blessed, but I think I got blessed more. I just want to encourage you that when we do the things that Jesus said to do, we're the ones who get blessed. In the process, we're the ones who get blessed. So in the end, who are you going to listen to? One final story about that. It was 2017, and Craig and I were hiking North Cascades National Park. We flew into Seattle, Mount Rainier National Park, and Olympic National Park. Well, we had dinner outside of North Cascades the first night. And Craig and I, we have had lunch at, like, we pack a sandwich. Some of the places we've stopped for lunch are just out of sight. Well, anyway, at this restaurant, no one was serving our table, so the owner comes over. Actually, before the night was over, he tried to sell me the restaurant. That's a whole nother story. But I said, "We're going to be hiking in North Cascades tomorrow." He goes, "Oh, the best trail. And the great, great vistas for lunch in the saddle. And I'm going to ask Russ if he can get some pictures in here, a couple of pictures." This is what we saw. It was just spectacular. But I gauged it because this guy, I think, was a little bit older than me. And he didn't say, "You know, you're a little bit older. You might have a problem with this or it might be challenging." And I just kind of figured if he could do it, I could do it. And I did. And the next night, there really weren't too many choices of restaurants. We went back, and sure enough, he was there trying to sell me the restaurant again. And I thanked him, and I said, "That's great. I'm so glad you told me about that, that it's like the best spot." And then I asked him one more question, and he said, "I've never been there." He said, "I've never hiked in the park." I'm like, what? It just struck me as so humorous. But we live in an age where there's a lot of people that are going to give us advice and they don't know. In this case, he happened to be exactly right. But we need to listen to Jesus because he has been there. He has been to heaven and he wants you to join him there. And he lays out the pathway perfectly for us. May we listen and may we do as he calls us to. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would give grace to each person who hears this. Help us to see the opportunities that are in front of us. If we recognize that it was really you, we'd do something every day, all day long. But sometimes we don't. But there's going to be some surprises in the end. Father, I pray that there are only good surprises for those that hear and apply. And Father, for those that may not know Jesus yet, I pray that they would invite his Holy Spirit into their life and that they would dedicate their lives to live for your glory, not for our own. Lord, speak to people today. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down.
pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face.
So glad you could join us. I hope to see you live and in person next week, and I hope you get to see me live and in person next week. And I hope we have wonderful spring weather, and I hope you are able to enjoy it. God bless you.